All right. Amen. Well, again, good morning to you. Glad you're here. And come on, can we just give a hand to all the guys in the house? Can we do that? Come on this Father's Day? Yeah. Man, we just thank God for you, all the dads and stepdads, granddads, uncles, foster dads, man, spiritual dads. We just honor all the men. We're thankful for you today. And on your way out, too, when you leave today, if you probably saw it when you came in, it's a blue tent. Guys, that's for you. So we're just celebrating you today, and we thank God for you and your influence. And one of the greatest honors I have is just being a dad. It's my greatest job, my greatest responsibility to my kids, and love my kids and thank God for them. And I got one of them sitting over here. Glory to God. Come on, Ashton. All right, she does not want me to embarrass her, but that's all I'll do, or I'll hear it later. So, but I love you, baby, and I love my boys, and they're back there terrorizing your kids, I'm sure. So, but it's good to see you. And I want to just highlight two quick things, and we're going to jump right into the message here this morning. Serve Day coming up, actually just one thing, Serve Day coming up July 14th. I talked to you about it last week. Sign ups, you can start now online or on the app getting signed up and get registered. Man, I want to encourage you. Again, this is one of our favorite things that we do every year together, and we have literally hundreds of us that go out and invade the streets of our city, us and our kids, and going to make a difference. We've got a lot of different projects coming up. You're going to hear some more details about all the different things that we'll be doing, but I want to encourage you, get signed up for that. We'll have a block party at the end of that day down at Weiser Park where we do our adopt block, and so you'll get a chance to see the ministry in action that we already do every month. They just had our adopt block yesterday that they faithfully go down every third Saturday and go make a difference. And so I want to encourage you, go ahead and get signed up. We're going to have a great time. Amen. All right. Well, grab your message notes if you haven't, or you can just follow along on the screen. Last week was a message that I hope not only challenged you, but man, I hope that you took it this week. And so I talked on the subject of spiritual authority and spiritual warfare because we are in a very spiritual fight. And we have to understand that if we're going to win in this thing called life, it's called winning the war in the spirit first. Amen? And so last week, did that message help anybody through the week, I hope? Anybody at all? All right? Anybody? You can show me hands. All right? They'll help me feel good. All right, good. All right. Because at first there's like two people. All right. So even if it's courtesy, glory to God. All right? But here's what I want to encourage you in. That's a message that I really believe, and it was a powerful Sunday for us. And one of the reasons why, too, is just at the end of service, I mean, God just put some things on my heart, and so we just declared some things just even prophetically of what I just know the season that we are entering into next for our church, that we're in it. It's not that it's coming. I really believe we're in it, so we need to just start expecting God to do some things and some things that we've been praying for. But you need to know how to overcome the enemy. You and I need to understand that there is a real spiritual fight at hand, and Satan wants to do everything he can to take you out. And for some of the things that many of us have faced, we need to understand it's very spiritual. You will not win this fight by doing this in the flesh. We have to continue to get a hold of God, and we have to understand the adversary of Satan, of who we fight, and how to overcome him, and how to resist him daily. Are you with me? And so I really want to encourage you to get a hold of that message. If you missed last week, it's on the app. Go listen to it. I think it'll be very, very helpful, because today's message really kind of piggybacks off of this, because I believe this: if we're going to continue to live a life that's overcoming and be all that God has called us to be, it's because of our closeness to God. I don't know about you, but man, I want to be as close as I possibly can to God. How many would say in your heart today that, man, I'm not where I want to be, but I want to go farther with God, and I want to get to the place that he has for me to be. Amen? And so I hope that's your prayer and that's your heart. And so I just want to talk to you today really on just encountering God and just pursuing him more. And I believe this is something in a culture that we live in with so many things happening in our life that not only do we need to be reminded of, but I think we need to sometimes have a good, healthy strategy and game plan for how to continue to move forward in our faith with God. And so I looked up the definition this week of encounter. I thought it was pretty cool. And it literally means to engage or to come upon face to face. I like that because it's, man, that's my heart, is in my heart for our church as well, that we would be a church that seeks God, that we want to see him face to face. And here's the truth, that if you and I don't have God in our life, man, life without God in his presence, man, we're nothing without him. How many can say this morning, man, I need God in his presence in my life? Amen. 1 Corinthians 1:29 reminds us that no flesh is going to glory in his presence, that God will and is going to give all the glory. And so I want to talk to you a little bit on a man, an incredible man of God, whose name is Daniel. And Daniel was a pretty rad dude because he went through some difficulty but overcome, went through some struggles but overcame those struggles. But God used him in a powerful way. And we see in Daniel 6, verse 3, it says, Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his, look at this, his exceptional qualities. In other words, another version, I think it's in the Message Bible, says that he carried a spirit of excellence. I like that a lot. That the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Now, Daniel was in a different country, and really what I think happened as I've read this story is leadership came looking for him. And he realized that, man, if I'm going to have influence in my life, and if I'm going to make a difference in my life, that he realized I'm going to have to embrace some qualities and some values that may not be popular with culture, but if I'm going to do what God has called me to do, then I'm going to embrace these values that God has for me and be willing not to look like everyone else. And by the way, I really think that's the call for us as followers of Jesus, that, man, we're not called to just look like everybody else, that we ought to be standing out amongst the crowd. Amen? And Jesus said that they will know you, the world will know that you love me by your love for people. And I think that's always a great litmus test of how are we doing with our love with people? Because I truly believe this, that love is action. It's a verb. It's action that we choose to love and put that in action, that we should be serving and we should be modeling that just like Jesus did, and have empathy towards people and doing what we can to make a difference in the lives of other people. But here's what I know that God does, and God takes you and I through journeys that maybe sometimes you and I don't like, but it's this thing called character building. And you won't get a lot of good amens probably on that and a lot of rah-rah on that, because it can be hard when you go through character building. It can be a sweaty mess. I'll never forget, I was for a short journey, and I mean short, everybody say it was a short journey. I did landscaping, and And I thought I was getting the easy part, the mowing part, because I love to mow. I think it's cool. I love to get the straight lines, you know what I mean? I love to trim, and they didn't put me there. They put me on the backyard assignment work. I was building fences, building decks, and that was in Columbus, Ohio, so I know those decks and everything that I built probably have major issues today, because you do not want this white boy building you a deck, that's for sure. And so I struggled with it, but man, was some character being built. Lord have mercy. And it can kind of feel that way when you go through things that you don't want to go through, but it's part of God's process to take you through those things in order for him to get you to where he wants you to be. Because either you can be where you want to be or you can be where God wants you to be. The last time I checked, it's a better place for me to be where God wants me to be rather than where I want to be. Yeah. Talk to me. Yeah, you can talk to me. And so I know this, that if we're going to encounter God, it's going to be because things are set in motion and our life is dictated not by our schedule and what we want, but we are going to follow his word, his game plan, and his roadmap to life. Or in other words, I've said it before, his playbook, and we just got to run the play. Are you with me? And so it's so important. And here's a question that I often think about. And this is a sobering question for me personally. So I want to share with you just something I always ask myself in my personal time and devotion with God. And this isn't in your notes. You may want to have some margin and write this in. And here's the question I ask myself a lot. And it's this: can God trust me? Can God trust me? Can God trust me with the little things? Because Scripture says if he can trust me with the little, then he'll be faithful to give me much. And we got a lot of Christians in the world that get frustrated at God because they don't see the much. They don't see the blessings. Well, it's because of the principle of being faithful first with the little. And sometimes you may not get real excited about what's in your hands today, but if you don't learn how to get excited with what God's given you today, you can't expect much. God's looking for faithfulness, because faithfulness always has a future and faithfulness always gets rewarded. Will you and I be faithful? And can God trust me? Can God trust? And I'm talking everything, not just some things, but can he trust me with everything so that he can entrust us with more? And I realize this is not a popular, you know, topic of character, especially in a culture that we have today. But Daniel was somebody that, because of his decisions, it resulted in incredible influence and favor in his life. And I believe that we must be a driven people to be more like Jesus. And the church said a good amen. Yeah, I think we need to look like Jesus. I mean, this church needs to look like him. That's why I love this scripture in John 3:30, one of my favorite scriptures that I pray over myself a lot, and that is simply that Jesus would become greater and greater, and that I would become less and less. If you're not praying that prayer, you need to start praying that prayer. Pray that scripture over your life. God, that you would become more known in my life, and less of me and more of you. And I think there's evidence when God has the more of you part than you having more power, you having more influence. And I love that. And so we are a church that seeks God's presence and understanding that our hearts are transformed in his presence. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians, great verse here. It says, whenever though they turn to face God as Moses did, and something about Moses that's important just kind of for context, Moses sought after God daily, and he's one of the few that ever saw him face to face. And you read in your Bible. And can I just tell you that God loves it when you and I pursue him. He loves it when we go after him. Are you with me? And that's why I love fasting. Every January we start our year with prayer and fasting. Fasting always reveals what controls you and always reveals what sustains you. That's why we do fasting and to grow in our relationship with the Lord. God removes the veil. What's the veil? It's the boundary. It's the restriction that keeps you from encountering God. And there they are face to face. Now watch this. Love the last part of how this ends. They suddenly recognize that God is a living, personal presence. Everything that God does, he does relationally. Everything that God does, it's personal because he's a personal. You have a personal relationship with God. Not a piece of chiseled stone, meaning God is real, not just a good idea. Amen, church? And when God is personally present, a living spirit, that old constricting legislation is recognized as obsolete. And everybody say the last part with me, and we're free of it. Man, I'm so glad that I'm not under the regulations and the rules and all those things, but we live in what's called a better covenant. We live under an incredible time of grace. Everybody shout grace. And man, you better thank God for grace. The fact that you and I will always make mistakes, I'm thankful that it's his love and his grace that continues to carry us on. That no matter what this week has thrown at you, no matter what you did last night, we don't take it for granted, Paul said, but we understand that we have a God that's always pursuing us and always wants the best for his kids. And we're in a time of grace. I'm so glad that I'm in this relationship with God because I don't have to serve him out of duty. When I come to church and when I talk to him through the week, it's not, oh man, I have to. No, it's an I get to. Like, I can't wait to be in his presence. And if you have that view, and if that's messing with you, you need to hear what I'm saying today, because your relationship with God is meant to be enjoyed, not endured. Can I hear a better amen? He wants to enjoy his relationship with you and wants you to enjoy the relationship with him. It works both ways. And so I want to encourage us, man, to enjoy the presence of God and who he is. And he wants us to serve out of a desire rather than duty. And enjoy his presence. And so if we're going to encounter God, there are a few things I think that are very important today that we need. The first one is this, in your notes you can jot this down, is we need power. Everybody say power. We need power, not just words. Man, that's true. We need power, not just words. For some, we need something much bigger than our problems. Are you with me? We need power today. We need the power of God in motion and moving in our life. We need more than words. We need the very power of God in our lives. I don't know about you. There's a time I'll never forget 7 years ago when we moved here. And as we moved here, the first 3 months were very difficult for me because I went into depression and it was a very dark season of life. And to be honest with you, that's not a good time to go in depression when you're supposed to be planting a church. And I thought, Lord, you definitely got the wrong guy now, you know. And it was hard. And we moved to this city, and we didn't know anybody, didn't have relationships at that time. We were just trusting God. And I'll just never forget going through that season and doing some of it alone when I had Pastor Rob and Tricia and Pastor Dave and Kate Summerall were friends and, man, believed in us, encouraged us. And that's why, again, you can't do this life alone. You need small groups. You need relationships. But I'll never forget a night that I had just with me and God. And it really felt like God, when I came in today, reminded me of this. And there was a night that I was in our bedroom and I was just praying. And this heaviness was just on me for so long. And I just told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm not leaving this bedroom tonight. Like, I love my wife, but I'm not letting her in. until you do something in me. Like, something's got to change. This thing's got to lift off of me. And I just begin to worship and pray, and I just begin to seek out, because there's a desperation in my heart, because I wanted to see God and I wanted him to move, and got to figure out, man, this church planting thing that, yeah, we just moved another state to get here. And then I just heard the Holy Spirit whisper this to me, and he said, Kyle, I didn't send you here to fail. That's all I needed to hear. And I'm just telling you, you know, when God spoke that to me, he didn't slam me up against the wall. He didn't throw me down. But it was the amazing peace of God that just overwhelmed my heart, my mind, my spirit. And there was a godly confidence that just began to rest on me and said, amen, Holy Spirit. And I began to believe, and it was a power moment. It was a God moment that I had where God just began to make a shift in my life in that area. Everybody say, we need power. 1 Corinthians 2, it says, I came to you in my weakness. This is Paul talking, in fear. And with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words. How many are thankful for that verse? Oh my gosh, I'm so thankful for that verse. Paul, Brother Paul, you know, like, got it. Like, hey, I'm not the smartest guy in the world, use all the right words, but here's what it's about. Here we go. But it's about the demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that, like this, your faith may not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. We need the power of God. Some of you are facing situations today that you don't need, and I appreciate encouragement because we need it, so don't hear what I'm not saying, but you need God's power to move in on a situation. Am I talking to anybody this morning that says, man, I need God's power to move on a situation right now in my life? Maybe it's in somebody's life today that you know. I'm telling you, it's getting desperate for that kind of power where God is looking and he's wanting to be sought out, but man, he's a God that moves in strength and power. That's why we also need an experience, not just an explanation. People need an encounter. They need an experience with God. Once you experience him personally and relationally, man, you move into a place of trust and not questioning. You realize, man, his power, who he is, and his strength. And I've just made up my mind, man, a long time ago. I don't want to serve a God that I'm constantly just trying to figure out and reducing to the size of my brain. Like, I need a God that's bigger than me that I can't figure out. Like, he's bigger than my situation and bigger than my intellect. Are you with me? I need a God that's bigger than me. And we're going to read in this scripture in John chapter 9. There's a lot of religious leaders in Jesus' day that hated on him. Imagine that. Even Jesus had him some haters. Yeah, Jesus, you ain't doing this right. No, not doing that right. I mean, just they were lined up. And when I read the scripture sometimes, especially in the Gospels, I read how Jesus responds to some of these Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious ones, and it almost comes to me, like, I just use my imagination a little bit. I thought, man, I'd love to have been there, because that seems like a really sarcastic comment you made to them, Jesus. Like, I love you. Like, yeah, just let the religious ones know what's up. You know what I mean? With love, right? In the spirit of love, amen. But that's kind of how I read some of the scriptures to me, and it comes alive to me. But here these religious leaders are. They're trying to bother something that Jesus just did. So they corner this man that just got healed, and they're cornering this man in order to try to get Jesus in trouble. All right, so we pick it up here in verse 17. It says, finally the religious ones turned to the blind man and said, what have you to say about this Jesus guy? Like, what's up? What's up with that Jesus, you know? And he replied, the guy that got healed, he said, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know, but one thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. And what I love about this story is this man didn't have an explanation of what happened. He had an experience of the power of God in his life. And sometimes, man, we need an experience, not an explanation. I need God's power to move in me today. Are you with me? I remember my mom, about 18 years ago, was diagnosed with a brain tumor. And they told my mom, they said this, they said, Sherry, they said, really one or two things are going to happen after this surgery. You're going to either go, your face is going to go completely paralyzed on the left side and droop the rest of your life, or you're going to go completely deaf. I'll never forget, she came back home that day, and we sat and we wept on the couch. And my mom's an amazing woman of God. Many of you know her. And she said, well, son, she said, we got a choice to make, don't we? I said, yeah, Mom. I was about 16 at the time. She said, well, we can either accept this or we can believe God for a miracle. I said, I like to believe in God for the miracle part. And she said, so do I. And so in a very mom fashion, mom way, this is just who she is as a woman of God. I'll never forget, over the next few days, her and I just got a bunch of scriptures together and speaking life and speaking healing and speaking hope. And guess what was all in our little apartment? Scriptures all over the place, because we wanted to be reminded and always be reminded of speaking life first and not death. Are you with me, church? Sometimes, even if you don't believe it, you got to get yourself to believe it. And Proverbs 18, again, talks about the power of your words. Death and life are in the power of what's flowing from you. So either you can accept it and declare, or you can accept God's miracle-working power in your life. And I think we got to quit giving the devil so much ammunition by accepting and speaking out things that are negative and that are speaking for things that are death. And we're just giving him things to prey on us about to try to take us out with by our own words. I'm just trying to help somebody. Yeah, I am. And I'm trying to help because I think what happens is we come into a place where we fuel the situation with greater fire, sometimes not for the positive or for life-giving, but for life-taking. And so I'm just here to remind us today, what comes out of your mouth, the Bible says that you and I will be held accountable for those words. Man, that's a whole nother message. I don't know. This message just took a turn. But anyway, here's what I'm saying. Be careful. For somebody, it might be a job situation. Your job situation may start to turn if you start speaking life over that thing and quit speaking death over it. Quit complaining about your boss and start humbling yourself and find a way to serve and watch God promote you. Or watch God open up another door for you. That's the way he works. Either you take him at his word or you don't. I've seen God do it. I've seen him do it. So we got to take God at his word. And I love this. I love this about our God. We need presence, not just practice. I believe our church, I believe we do a great job with our Sunday morning experience, great systems, ministry. But it's nothing without the presence of God. Nothing. We need God to show up. And the church said a good amen. It's why we pray on Saturday mornings. It's why we pray on Saturday mornings. Because the war is won on Saturdays. We say, we have a little saying for Saturday morning prayer. We say, Sunday mornings start on Saturday. I love it. Because every chair that is here today, somebody was praying over where you're sitting right now every Saturday. I love that. It's a point of contact, man. We just know that people are going to sit in all these chairs and believe in for God to move in your life and that you would experience him in a powerful way today. But we realize as a church and as we continue to grow in what God has called and purposed us to do, that the war is only won in the spirit. If we're going to win this thing and we're going to see people in Fort Wayne reach for Jesus, and we're not just going to talk about it, we have to continually realize it's going to take the power and the presence of Almighty God to continue to move and do what we can never do on our own. I'm preaching better than your amen today. That's all right. That's okay. That's all right. I'll clap for myself in a minute if I need to. But everything we do is unto the Lord. Everything. Work in excellence like Daniel does. Do well with what we have, because we're nothing without his presence. Acts 2 says this, verse 28, you have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. There's a difference between happiness and joy. Your happiness is determined on circumstance. If it's sunny out, I'm happy. But if it's cloudy out, I'm sad or I'm angry. But joy is an inward thing that only God can produce in you and through you. It's inward. It's inside of you. It's part of your spirit, part of your makeup. And so I want to give you, in the last few minutes I have with you, some just kind of heart adjustments that if we're going to be a people in a church that continue just to seek after God, man, I love this message so much because I've just been in a season, and I've been sharing with you throughout May and June. We've not been in a series. It's just been messages that God has really just kind of laid on my heart. But there's no one greater single message that God has been talking to me about than getting closer and closer and closer and closer to him and going further in his presence. Because where I'm at, I'm not satisfied with. I want all of God, and I want him always to have all of me. And the Bible says this in Matthew 13. It says, in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. I want you to watch something. It says, you will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Now, that could seem like a real frustrating verse if you stop there, but I want you to understand about something that we're seeing right here in the first part of this verse. that sometimes your and I's previous experiences can limit us from God's best in our life. In other words, well, Pastor, yeah, I've heard that before. Mm-hmm. Yeah, tried that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, didn't see that. Yeah. And so what happens is we've put up walls that keep us from God. And sometimes it could be how you grew up. For some, it might even be you being hurt by somebody else. And so we have these walls that have surrounded us from our relationship with God. And the Bible goes on to say, for this people's heart has become calloused. That's what happens. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand what their hearts and turn. And look at this, and I would heal them. Like the heart of God is always to bring healing and hope and help to us. Can I just tell you today that God desires to heal whatever it is you're facing? Whatever, listen to me. Let me say it this way. Whatever your past church experience was like, God wants to bring healing to you. Whatever situation, whatever walls that have tried to stand between you and God, he desires to tear down those walls once and for all and bring healing to your heart. I'm thankful for that kind of healing. He desires to do that in you. D.L. Moody saw this quote this week, thought it was fantastic. It says, I firmly believe a great many prayers are not answered because we are not willing to forgive someone. Whoa. I don't know if that hit you like it hit me, but man, I thought, I just begin to check my heart because I don't want my prayers hindered because of an offense I'm carrying with somebody. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. We've got to let it go. And I truly believe as a pastor, one of the things that I see people go through the most, struggle with the most, is the personal wounds that have happened through relationships. And they carry it with them. Ever seen people that sometimes travel international? They got like 6 bags, man. You know what I'm talking about? And then they got the big old backpack, and then they're trying to carry, you know, a couple suitcases. And for years, people carry this. For years, they'll carry it. When that's not the plan of God, the plan of God is to bring healing and freedom once and for all. But God is not, listen, we're not waiting on God. God is waiting on us to take the step and say, man, enough's enough. Tired of trying to figure this out on my own. It's seeking him daily. Seeking God, growing closer to him, allowing those hurts, those things to be dealt with by the Holy Spirit, and getting in a small group and working them out and having people help you and I with these issues as well. Because we're real people, we got real issues, right? And so I just know it's one of the greatest challenges we face. And for some of us, these walls have stood tall. And for some of them, they've stood long. And I just really have felt in this moment in the service, I wanted to pray today. I wanted to stop the service right here and just pray over hearts today. Because I believe there is more for you. I believe the devil has kept and has done everything he possibly can to keep you from destiny and purpose. But I'm just believing over these last few weeks that there are some walls and there are some chains and there are bondages and strongholds that's being broken by the power of our God. Can you shout a good amen? So right now, in the name of Jesus, Father, I speak over every man, woman, and young person, God, where we have, maybe even unknowingly, we've set up these walls. That, God, I'm asking you in the name of Jesus to help us see. Help us see. Help us hear. Help us know. Let our hearts be softened, God. Father, and I ask you in Jesus' name, and I declare walls come down in Jesus' name. I declare bondages and addictions and chains and strongholds that have tried to hold you back, that today there begins to be something set in motion in your spirit like never before, to want and desire God like never before. And I declare that the past is the past, but today is a new day, and that you move forward in the plan and the purpose of God. And I declare, let there, God, come healing in relationships, God, where we need to release forgiveness, God. I know it's hard sometimes, but God, give us the courage and the strength to let this go once and for all in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Come on, if you believe it, give God a hand today. Amen. Man, I feel that. I feel it. Somebody needed that today. I know it. Hosea 10:12 says, sow for yourselves righteousness, reap the fruit of unfailing love, and break up your unplowed ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. The unplowed ground represents your heart. God is saying, I want you to make room for me. For some of us, God is saying, as I just prayed that prayer, God is saying, let me in again. Or for somebody, it's let me in for the first time. And let me move, for it's time to seek the Lord. Like never before, I'm telling you, it is time to seek God. I don't want to play games with God. I don't want to just talk about changing the world. And man, I want to see it happen. And it's going to only happen by a people seeking after God. God's presence and his power absolutely trumps anything that we could ever try to muster up on our own. I don't want what we can offer. I want everything God offers. Are you with me, church? Until he comes and showers his righteousness on you. So if we're going to have some hard adjustments, let me give you a couple things. First of all, number one, jot this down, is a desperation. I think you're hearing that, and I hope you're feeling that, where it's saying, man, I want things God's way, not my way. God is looking for a people who are desperate. I believe this church is made up with some people who are not satisfied with where they're at. Am I talking to anybody today that says, man, Pastor, I'm not satisfied with where I'm at. I know, man, there's more. I want all that God has. Don't want just some of it. Am I talking to anybody today that says, man, I want more of what God has for me. I'm going to do everything I can to pursue God and to pursue what he wants. Amen. I'm desperate. And desperation is pretty awesome because I love being around desperate people that love God and want more of God. Man, those are pretty cool people to hang with because they want to be full of what God is doing. And I'm just telling you, man, you've got to even sometimes be desperate enough to be dangerous. And what I mean by that is being willing sometimes to look foolish in order to do what God has called you to do. Listen, if you think everybody just got up and when Bethy and I said, man, it's time to move to Fort Wayne and just said, hey, man, go get them, guys. No, we had the haters lined up. Starting with our family, called me an irresponsible dad, irresponsible husband. Thank you for the encouragement. God bless you. You know what I mean? Like, geez, oh, Pete. I mean, it's just, we had them. I always believe that any time that you start doing things that are significant, you're met with resistance. Because Satan doesn't want you to fulfill the assignment that God has for your life. For some of us, we've stopped because resistance has come, and we thought, well, that must not be God. You've got it turned around. You're moving in the right direction if you've got resistance, because not everything is just going to be laid out on a silver platter. You're going to have to go through some stuff. And it's not always going to be peaches and cream tipping through the tulips, baby. Follow the yellow brick road. I mean, it's not going to all be laid out that way. We've just got to continue to trust God, continue to move. And I don't know about you, but I'm so desperate for God. I want to see God's power move in Fort Wayne, right here in Northwest Allen, and then also throughout this city. And we're moving in faith. And, man, I know that I seem probably like this crazy pastor with this vision and, you know, and wanting to see this city change. But I know our God can do it. So I don't know what I'm doing, but here's what I know. Here's what I know, is that this past week, we were looking at a building downtown on Broadway. There's a clue. It's empty. We're going to go look at it again this week. I don't know what God's doing, guys, but all I'm hearing God say is, will you trust me? Lord, starting another campus seems a little premature. Lord, I don't know, but God said, but will you trust me? God, we're going to walk this thing out. Woo, Lord, it's a pretty cool building. It's under budget. Uh-oh. Praise God. But I don't know what God's doing, but here is what I know he's doing and what he's given us to do, church, is to reach people. When I got in that building this week and I stood in that auditorium, you know what I saw? I mean, it seats a lot. It's cool. But I saw the neighborhoods around in the inner city of our city being affected by the power of God, while the support of what's happening on the northwest side of our city also affecting what's going on in our city as well. Don't tell me we can't do it. Don't need you to be with me if you got that to say. What I need and what God is saying is I need people who are radical enough to believe me and that are desperate, that a real move of God can take place, that we're not just talking about it, but baby, we're going to see it happen and it become a reality. Is there anybody that's desperate, man? Come on, is there anybody that's desperate and it's burning in you today? I want it. I want it. I want to see people reached. It's my only motivation and our only motivation together as a church is to reach more people. We're not doing this for ego's sake. We're not trying to build a mega church. Man, we're trying to reach people for the glory of God. We're doing this for God so loved the world. So God is raising up people who want more of him and want more in our lives, our families, our schools. Come on, our cities, our world. I believe God's going to be doing something very powerful, significant with our teenagers like never before as well. It's coming. The days where God is going to begin to raise up our students like never before. He's using Pastor Kyle and Anna Sadler and the leaders as well to be leaders in their schools, to be leaders and not followers. Are you with me? That's what's happening. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Matthew 5, Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Stay hungry for God. Keep pursuing him. Stay passionate for him. And listen, I'll never forget as a young preacher, when I started preaching at 14, I had people tell me, "Man, you'll never make it as a teenage preacher. Nobody will ever have you in." There's a part of me I thought, man, maybe they're right. When I heard the Lord say, "Man, that's not what I told you." And you better know how to distinguish the voice of God and the voice of man. You better learn how to distinguish the voice of God and the voice of the devil. And you better learn how to distinguish the voice of God and the voice of yourself. And you say, "Man, whoo, seems a little perplexing to hear all that, Pastor." But here's how you do it. You stay as close to God as you can to hear his voice and to encounter that peace. That's how you know. And that's the way God will speak. And he'll speak different ways. But you stay close to him. And when God gives you a word, church, you hold on to that word. Listen, he will open doors that no man can shut. When he speaks something to you, you hold on to it. You hold on to it. Because when all you have is his word to you, baby, that is enough. That's all you need. Because if he said it, then that settles it. Amen? For some of you, man, we need to hear that. Second thing is humility. If we're going to make the hard adjustments, we got to get humble. We got to understand the call to serve is not for some, it's for all. We got to be able to roll up our sleeves and not be afraid to get dirty, be able to help some people. Be able to go to the hospitals or into the city, do whatever we need to do that's called upon us. Wanting God's will. If we want his presence, we've got to get pride out of the way. The reality is that everything that we have comes from God. And in everything we have, God gets the credit. We give him the glory and the credit, and it's worship back to him. You know, Pastor Rob and I, we've known some great preachers and even some great businessmen and women. Some of them doing incredible things, but then the some that haven't made it are the ones that didn't want to go on the road that was kind of less traveled, and that was the road of character building. They didn't want people helping them and bringing accountability to their life. You and I, listen to me. One of the greatest things my pastor ever told me, he said, "In all things and in everything and in every season, Kyle," he said, "brother," he said, "you stay in a place of teachability." I believe one of the greatest definitions I've ever heard, Peter Haas said this years ago to me, and I'll never forget it. He said, "The definition of teachability is really this. It's the ability to relearn that which you think you already know." Yeah, that's good. All, I don't care how old you are, how young you are, stay humble. Stay teachable. Stay pliable. There ain't nothing worse than hang around a know-it-all. Miserable to do life with. Can't tell them jack because they know it all. Lord, have mercy. Like, if you're ever going to grow, and what's sad is about, you know, people, when they flow into that place, they have no influence. And if they have any, it's very minimal. But I don't know about you, but I want to have all the blessing and the backing of God that I can get. Are you with me? Because you need to understand and you need to see it this way, that God is not just trying to build you for the moment. He's trying to build you for the future. And what you're going through is important to understand, that this is not just about my moment, even though it hurts, even though it stinks, even though it is hard. You need to understand and see what God cannot see for you right now is, this isn't just about your moment. This is about the future that he's trying to do. Will you be teachable? Will you be humble? Will you and I quit trying to know it all and start surrendering our all to God? Stay teachable. Give somebody a fist bump next to you. Tell them, stay teachable. Come on. Tell the person who's your second choice. Second choice. Say, stay teachable. I'm wrapping up here. I'm done. Number three, repentance. This is huge. I got to skip some stuff. I'm out of time. I did this in first service, and there's some things God wanted to say today, and we're going to let God say what he wants. Repentance, though. This is huge. Wanting God's work. Listen to me. Repentance doesn't mean to be sorry. We misunderstand this, I think, in the American church. Repentance is identifying that what you and I did was wrong, but then we turn from it and go the opposite direction. That's repentance. Because a heart of true repentance brings us closer to God. Heart of true repentance says, man, I'm not going to go back to that stuff. When we encounter Jesus, man, you don't want to continue in the junk. Man, there's some messed up stuff that God delivered me from. I'd be foolish to want to go back in that mess. For what? For a couple minutes of gratification and then feel miserable? No thanks. I want all that God has. And that junk and that mess has nothing for me. But I know what God has for me is bigger than me. And what God has for me, there's more hope and life that is ahead of me. Sounds like a better plan than going backwards. Are you with me? Remember this. Hear my heart on this. Remember, let me say this. God is not looking. Hear me. Don't miss this. God is not looking for you and I to be perfect. He's looking for you and I to be honest. He's not looking for perfection out of you and me. He's looking, can and will they be honest? Because if we can be honest with God, God can do anything with us. And I want him to do whatever he wants. Last scripture, and we're going to pray. Psalm 51. It's a great chapter. Go read it when you have time. It's a huge, really just lament, repentive type of prayer from David. Because David was in sin, committed adultery, and he cries out to God. He said, God, create in me a pure heart. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. David understood repentance. He knew he went through a lot. He made a lot of bad decisions. But what he understood is grace never kept chasing him. It always kept chasing him. God's love always keeps chasing after us, just like David experienced. He said, don't cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Grant me a willing spirit to sustain me, and I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will turn back to you. No matter the pain, the hurt, God is here. He promised you to never leave you or forsake you. He will not abandon you. You were made to love him, made to serve, made to make a difference. And I'm telling you, there's more to this. And there's a little saying that we have around in our church that I love from repeating it from time to time, that it's never too late to become what you might have been. And I'm telling you, there's some of us, we need to let God have all of our heart today and keep going further with him. Would you bow your head where you're at? Let me pray. Lord, if there's anything I know, you are in this place. And you are with us today. And I thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit on this Father's Day, that you are moving in hearts. You are challenging us to go farther with you. There is a call like never before. I believe that this church is meant for more, but part of it being meant for more is making sure that our hearts are in alignment with yours. So God, I'm asking you right now, we come before you. God, forgive us for allowing anything to come in between us. And God, we're asking, let there come, God, a humility, a desperation, a true heart of repentance, God, to not want to stay where we're at, but to go forward in the future that you have for us. God, we don't want to just stay here. We want more of you. We want more of your power. We want more of your strength. We want to see the scripture and the word of God continue to come alive. And we want to do our part. So God, I'm asking, would you light a fire within our hearts and our spirit to go and to pursue after you like never before? And when you put people in our paths from Monday all the way back to Sunday, God, that we would lean in and be an example of Jesus Christ and your love. God, let the fire of your Holy Spirit ignite us again. We need you. And Holy Spirit, speak now. Speak. Talk to us. Let us have ears that hear, eyes that see, hearts that are open right now. I'm telling you, God's talking to some people. I said, man, Pastor, what are you doing? I'm letting God just speak to some people. I know he's talking to people right now. Thank you, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or maybe you pursued after him and you just haven't, maybe you've just been far from God, but today you realize, man, I've got to put God first again in my life. With every head bowed, all eyes closed, this is not an embarrassing moment. This is an awesome moment of boldness for you to make the decision that I'm not going to remain the way I am. I'm going to allow God and his power and his love to change me. All over this room, if that's you and you say, man, I'm ready for God's power to change me, I want to invite Christ in my life. I want to commit. For some, maybe you need to recommit today. This is your day. On the count of three, come on, all over this room. 1, 2, 3, in this place, I say, that's me. Come on. Yeah, gotcha. Praise God. Awesome. Awesome. Gotcha. Yeah, hands are going up all over the place. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Gotcha, man. Now just repeat this prayer after me and mean it in your heart. Come on, church. Let's just join these and just say, Jesus, I give you my life. I need you. Forgive me of my sins. I invite you today to be the Lord of my life. Take control of my life. And make me the kind of person you want me to be. Give me the power to change. In Jesus' name, amen.